This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. The pro-tariff economic narrative. We are talking here, of course, about the Trump steel and aluminum tariffs that go into effect on the 23rd of March. That narrative is that long-abandoned steel mills are going to come back to life. The mills operating at less than capacity are going to pump up production, and American jobs lost to foreign competition are going to come back. That is the narrative. Economic reality might have a different take. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris takes a look at what it would take to bring steel back.
When Ed Schutte was 19, he walked into a steel mill and walked out with a job. It was 1978, and steel was still a sure thing here. But within a few years, he and thousands of other workers in southwestern Pennsylvania were scrambling for work. Schutte moved through jobs, factories, retail, tending bar, because steel...
I didn't think any of it was going to open back up.
Then in 2004, steel came calling, and Schutte took a job at U.S. Steel's Egger Thompson Works. Just looking at it takes you back a couple centuries. Built in the late 1800s and still belching smoke from its hulking structure, it's the last of its kind around here. But where the mill once employed thousands of workers, today it employs 600. Schutte, who I meet at the union hall across the street, says with the new tariffs...
Now finally somebody's stepping up to the plate and doing what needs to be done, putting us back on a level playing field with the rest of the world.
But somebody did step up before. In 2002, President Bush enacted similar tariffs. By the end of the next year, they were gone. James Kraft, a business professor at the University of Pittsburgh.
Because of the complaints of other manufacturers in terms of the cost of steel had gone up for them and so forth and so on.
Under the new tariffs, more people lost their jobs in industries that use steel than worked in the steel industry altogether. Kraft says one reason tariffs didn't do much, by then the industry was in no shape to compete. It hadn't kept up with years of technological change.
We didn't update ourselves in the sense of, you know, really responding to the kind of technology and the kind of opportunities we had for enhancing our competitive position. We kind of stagnated.
And now, those mills that are still standing are even further behind. Jim Johnston is a third-generation steelworker. Standing outside the giant Egger Thompson mill as trucks lug slag to dump sites, Johnston says to boost production at this mill, updates would have to be made.
We're hoping that U.S. Steel is going to spend more with capital improvements here in the facility, which would help create jobs and make us more relevant for the future.
Johnston is also the local union president, and he was standing behind President Trump in the Oval Office when he signed off on tariffs last week. Even with improvements, Johnston says the mill could never employ thousands of workers again.
Obviously, with modernization, you lose jobs. It doesn't take as many people to do the work.
And lots of other things have changed, too, like environmental regulations, the way we move raw materials around the world, the labor force. Josh Spores, a steel analyst with Crew Group, says mini mills are where the future is headed and where the profit is. Tricking out one of these old mills would take years and...
maybe $20 million or so to bring it back up and get it running again.
And that's not happening.
Those mills are gone. They'll never come back. You would need to have an environment here that requires a new mill to be built from the ground up.
The more likely future of steel in Pittsburgh is on display where I meet historian Ron Barriff at the Cary Furnace. Before shutting down years ago, the furnace produced tons of iron that was shipped across the Monongahela River to a thriving steel mill. At one time, more than 15,000 workers clocked in every day.
You know, we often joke about having that magic switch that you can throw to turn these blast furnaces back on, but you can't. That time is gone.
Today, the furnace is a museum. The mill, a shopping complex with dozens of stores and restaurants that bring in $450 million a year. Barriff, who specializes in steel history, leads tours of the furnace. People whose relatives worked in the mills, tourists, newcomers to Pittsburgh who want to know its past.
There's a beauty in this rust, and there's a beauty in this change over time.
A change that tariffs and technology aren't likely to reverse. In Pittsburgh, I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.